WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. More than 6 million Americans are under winter weather warnings as lake effect snow will be pounding parts of Pennsylvania and New York State and move into New England this weekend. CBS Bay Area forecaster Paul Hagan.
Forecast models in general saying 1 to 2 feet of snow downwind to the Great Lakes, but there are going to be some communities that hit the jackpot and add up several feet of snow. They're going to be digging out well into next week in some cold temperatures. Saturday's highs are going to be 10 to 20 degrees below average, in the teens, 20s and 30s, and the wind chill is going to be even lower than that.
The FAA reports a record number of flights, with more than 232,000 across the country between last Sunday and Thanksgiving Day. A heads up if you want to send a holiday card or present to Canada. The U.S. Postal Service is asking you not to mail it through them until further notice due to the ongoing national strike by the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. Canada's prime minister is in the U.S. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is meeting with President-elect Donald Trump over dinner tonight, according to senior sources. They say Canada sought out the meeting, and there's a lot to talk about. Trump has threatened Canada with 25% tariffs.
And there have been reports that Canada is exploring possible retaliatory tariffs. Syrian authorities reportedly close to the Aleppo airport, close at the Aleppo airport and all highways into Aleppo after rebels opposed to President Bashar al-Assad reached the heart of the city. The BBC's James Reed.
More and more videos are emerging of opposition fighters celebrating in the center of Aleppo and occupying major landmarks. The Syrian army regained control of Aleppo 8 years ago after a long and bloody siege, with help from Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. But with his allies now mired in other conflicts, President Assad's regime looks suddenly vulnerable.
Black Friday is the unofficial kickoff to the holiday shopping season, and experts reported seeing the biggest crowds at stores that offered up real bargains. Farron Kennedy says this is her family's tradition.
Me, my mom, my godmother, we always come to the sales after Thanksgiving. They used to just do toy stores, but as we grew older, we just talked about it. Now we're like in the mall, like everyone wants to shop, look good, so we've moved past the toys.
CBS's Heather Bosch reports the state of California is looking to protect an iconic tree from global warming.
The Joshua tree is the first species that the state of California has passed a law to try and protect from the effects of climate change. The law has prompted a 294-page draft plan now on just how to do that, from shielding the tree's habitat from wildfires to identifying new land where Joshua trees could thrive even as the planet becomes even warmer.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Badgers season is over. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, Wisconsin losing at home today to Minnesota, 24-7. Minnesota wins the Paul Bunyan Axe. The Badgers finish with a losing record of 5-7, and for the first time in 22 years will not go to a bowl game. Head coach Luke Fickle, to any Badgers players thinking of hitting the transfer portal out of Madison.
This isn't the place they want to be because they don't want to climb this mountain. Then they're going to have an easy shot to go ahead and go do that. But those that want to stay, those that want to grind this thing through, we're going to do what we need to do. And we're going to make him proud with the guys that want to be here. We got a lot of work to do.
NFL, the Packers beat the Dolphins 30-17. Matt LaFleur praised running back Josh Jacobs' performance.
I think he brings a different dimension to us, just that physicality. I don't know how many broken tackles he had yesterday, but it sure seemed like a lot.
In Chicago, Matt Eberflus fired as the Bears head coach after failing to use a timeout at the end of yesterday's loss in Detroit. The Bears have now lost 6 games in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low down in the single digits, and a sunny forecast for tomorrow, high only upper teens. High near 20 for Sunday and mostly sunny. Temps slowly warm up into the 20s for highs as we look into early next week. Currently, we're at 15.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time, an all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, we are awake, and we're resisting. Hey, we have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, on, and it's really good to see you. And I want to wish you, of course, a happy Native American Heritage Month.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be here, everyone. Good to see you.
Well, we can probably start with your update. I saw some cool pictures of you and Haley. My hip was kind of aching when I saw that, but you guys were at the round dance.
Yeah, we were. I didn't know. I think I knew Haley was going to be there. But it was good to run into her over at...
The Bell Museum.
Yeah, the Bell Museum at the University of Minnesota. I forgot where the name of it. It's right on the corner of Cleveland and Lexington over by the St. Paul campus. And Haley, if I'm not mistaken, was it for the University of Minnesota students?
Yeah, the Student Cultural Center there at the U of M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they put it on.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was a small enough event where you saw a lot of people and it wasn't overwhelming. And it was just in that main, if anybody's been to the Bell Museum, which is really cool and everybody should get over there. They have a huge woolly mammoth and other things, but they had it right in that main entryway area and had a bunch of vendors in the back. Always cool stuff to look through. But Representative Keeler was there. Representative Koslowski was there. I saw Crystal. I saw some pictures that Shannon Gieschick was there at one point. But I had to leave and go over to McAllister to do another student event. But Haley stayed there. I don't know how late you were there, Haley.
I think I did stay until the end because I had a friend that was vending, but you did miss the Lili contest. Me and Heather Keeler participated. I went first, believe it or not. There was only four of us that participated in the Lili contest, but they had a war cry contest. Of course, the best ribbon shirt and best ribbon skirt. It was overall just a great evening.
Yeah. And you know, lots of kids were there too. It was wonderful. It was a really nice little intimate event. And, you know, you don't often see them just as a round dance, right? It's usually a big, you know, full-on powwow. But man, they had, how many drummers were there? There were a lot of them in the center, weren't there?
Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
I kind of like those intimate ones. It's like a more spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Did they do a singing contest too? With
the hand drums?
The hand drummers?
They did.
Yeah, that's always cool to hear, especially the young ones, but also the veterans too. It's a beautiful situation, and I know that's always part of the round dance when they have those contests.
Yeah, and of course the potato dance.
Yeah, my forehead's not flat enough to do that dance. My old student Misko, and she would always win. It seemed like.
Yeah, some people are really good at it. I know, Mary, we were watching these two little kids do it together, or a mom and her daughter, and it was the cutest thing.
It was really super cute. Super cute. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So also, too, I think some of the events, before we get into what's going on with the nation, one of the events that that I know mail's been a little sketchy here in Matt Groveland here in St. Paul, but I didn't get the invite to Senator Mary Kunish's birthday party.
Oh, that was a very small, intimate event. Select few. Yeah, yes. Granddaughters and kids and closest family. Thanks. That was really fun. It was a lovely day and a great celebration in the evening. I have a twin brother. He was out in California. So it was a... Every now and then he gets home to Minnesota for our birthday. Last year he was home for it. Then we had a big family event. When we turned 50, man, we had a blowout party. It was the best. So when we hit that next milestone, I think we'll have to reenact that one if we handle it at our age.
Well, you don't look a day over 50, so I don't know what you're talking about, but, That's awesome. And we just wanted to, and we've been meaning to, it's been in the script, Haley, to wish you a happy birthday, but I think it's more effective that we're doing it in person on air.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So
thank
happy
you
so birthday, Ho Cheni Hom Ke Beske.
Hey, listen to that Ho-Chunk speaker. Whoa.
A little bit.
Right on. Well, yeah. So, you know, you're going to be heading and probably have been heading up to the office, which is the state capitol, because soon enough you'll be in the throes of it. But, you know, as a being a part-time job, you sure seem like you're working full-time all the time.
I am. I really feel like I am. And, you know, like you said, once session is about to begin January 14th, everyone wants to start talking to you and talking about bills and what's your priority and all these questions. And lately I've just been saying, I mean, we've got a million questions and no answers. So hold tight. At least in the Senate here in Minnesota, we have that one person majority, which is wonderful. Thank you. And Johnson Stewart, and she will be getting sworn in on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Kelly Morrison, Senator Kelly Morrison, stepped down from her seat to run for Congress, and she was successful. So she's going out to Congress. I don't know how much fun that will be under these circumstances, but and so that left that spot for a new senator, and Johnson Stewart won, which is great because she and I were elected to the Senate the same year. But because of redistricting, she got redistricted out, and now she's back for more, which is wonderful. She's a lot of fun, but she is just a genius when it comes to infrastructure. She's a contractor that deals with roads and bridges and build. I mean, she's just brilliant. So we need people like that in the Senate. So she is getting sworn in on Monday. So that'll be a really special day.
Well, and then the House is even, right?
Yep. I think it's going to be tied for the next 2 years. There were two campaigns that came very, very, very close. Dan Wolgamont up in the St. Cloud area, I think he's prevailed. He's got like 100 and some
lead
ballots to protect him. But Brad Tapke down in the Shakopee area, he has only 15, so he will have won by 15 votes.
Whoa.
And I don't know if they're going to take it all the way to the courts or not. It could be, it costs a lot of money to do a recount.
Right.
And the candidate or the party that instigates it has to pay for it. So I don't know if that's the case, but it looks like we will have that 67-67 tie at the Minnesota House.
That'll make things very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some people will go across lines, and that's a good thing. So, hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, our friend here on Fridays, just checking in. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we'll be back in just a moment with Haley and State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. They'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
Thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. That's mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, and we're just talking about, some events that have happened recently, and it's great to have you on, and give us updates, too. So what else have you been doing, State Senator?
Oh, well, let's see. On Tuesday, a bunch of senators were invited, and we went down to Shakopee to their cultural center. I don't pronounce it very well, but it's the Ho-Chunk-Katachi. It's a term for lodge in the center of the camp that they built on their lands. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful cultural center. There's an interactive historical, you know, side that you can go through, a fabulous, fabulous gift shop Right. And I know there's going to be a craft, a maker's market down there. Right. Yeah. When is that?
The 13th through the 15th. And Native Trading Post will be there, too, selling our goods and our wares and our arts.
Mm-hmm. So that was really lovely to be able to get down there and show it to the senators and for them to hear a little bit. And then we jumped in a van and went and looked at their compost system out there is just really phenomenal. And then spoke to their public safety and their police and their fire folks about how they do things, not just within the boundaries of their reservation, but how they are very collaborative with the county and the local communities as far as making sure that public safety issues are addressed. So they have a really great collaboration relationship, which was not always the case in Minnesota because, you know, Minnesota is what we call a public law 280 state where the federal government has had a lot of jurisdiction over, especially the safety, the policing and the public safety. But when the tribes wanted to establish their own police departments and public safety offices, they had to go through the state and they had to basically partner with the county sheriff, and the sheriff would sort of be their oversight and, you know, make sure that everything was the way it should. And some of the counties, they have had really good relationships with their county sheriffs. Some of them have not had very good relationships, and some have had really horrible relationships with, you know, some pretty catastrophic consequences when the county isn't holding up their part. But Shakopee and their county have a great relationship and have been able to, you know, really provide the state-of-the-art public safety vehicles and equipment. The guy was there and showed us the it's my sister he showed us the their drone program. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's incredible. And he had a drone there and he talked about how they were able to do the work of the public safety using those drones.
Yeah.
So it was really great. And I love it when they invite us down, and I'm really proud when our senators decide to join in the conversations and go down there and learn more. This was the second one, probably in the last 2 months, that we've had where legislators can come down and learn about the programming.
Yeah, well, Scott County, I don't think would have grown half as fast if it wasn't for the Minnewaukan Sioux down there and all those things that were going on. Because I remember, was it the 90s that was like the fastest growing county in the state?
Yeah. And when I was in the House, I carried a bill to unlink, emancipate, shall we say, Prairie Island. And they also have built a really great relationship with their county sheriff. And the county sheriff he actually testified in favor of, you know, emancipating and unlinking the public safety from the tribal safety from the county. And I remember him saying, you know, they actually have better equipment. They respond quicker. If ever we need them to step in and help, they're always there to do that. And so I know that we've been trying at the legislature to do that for all of the tribes. We don't have to do it for Red Lake because, of course, they never were part of Public Law 280. But, really impressive and glad that I went down there again. Every time I go, I learn so much.
Yeah, it is. And you did mention about they have that, I want to say museum, but it's more of a kind of a glassed-in historical thing about the Shakopee and their history and their veterans, as all Native communities are very very, everything surrounds the veterans and the elders and are mm-hmm. very revered. So yeah, if you can make it down there, for anything, because it's open to the public.
Yeah, it is. And there was another group that was coming through and he was telling us that, so many other folks, other schools, a lot of school districts bring their kids down there, which is so great. And, it's just a jewel of a building and so much information. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it. It's on the other side of the casino and before the casino, it's on the left-hand side. If you're heading towards, I guess that would be south. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but you can see it. They have these big old, teepees there that are huge, artistic teepees, outside the building.
Yeah. It's really a lovely spot and they are doing so much incredible stuff. Oh, and we drove by the buffalo herd. And so it was just a really great day and glad that I went.
So what else have you been doing? I know you're getting revving up for this coming session, which, you know, will be totally interesting like we talked about in the last segment, but there's a lot of prep going on and I don't know, sometimes it doesn't affect you now, but people change offices and because mm-hmm. somebody has more votes than the other side and just weird stuff that it's fun too, State Senator. We've experienced this on Native Roots Radio with you over the years as first being a representative and now the last, was it 6 years you've been a state senator?
Four. Yeah, the House will I think they're going to be co-chairing and co-leading. So that should be interesting. So every committee will have a chair that's GOP, a chair that's DFL, and they will, you know, carry those committees in that way. I don't know exactly how it's going to go day by day, but there will be a lot of moving around and changing things out a little bit. And that leads to be... to see. I did have a really lovely experience at the MIWRC, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, where they had a groundbreaking. There's going to be a new addition onto that building that's going to provide, I think, at least 10 additional rooms for families and individuals. I was so pleased that I was invited to go to that groundbreaking, saw Ruth M. Buffalo there, which was lovely, and mm-hmm. Really excited to see that there's that investment in the community for really a unique, most vulnerable group of people, women and children.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it went from 14 to 24 rooms. Mm-hmm. And, another thing about that organization's been around 40 years and, one of the first, I do believe, in the community to really be helping, and they're still here, and it's great to have former Representative of North Dakota, Ruth Buffalo, here in Minnesota, working on that. It's so awesome.
I know. I'm glad she found a really good project to work on, and I'm glad that it's here in Minnesota. She's, stepped into, this project in such a great way. A lot of her staff was there, and that was really great to see them and to know that they've got that unified vision. It's an organization that's been around for so long and been providing those services. But, I don't know that it's always been invested in as much as it should have been over the years. Mm-hmm. The building needs a lot of work, but yet they provide incredible services and support systems and activities. There's always, moccasin making or beading or ribbon shirt or ribbon skirt sewing. And mm-hmm. I just have to really commend them for sticking it out through thick and thin and doing such a good job of it.
Well, it's interesting. We had Ruth on for our Sunday night symposium that you helped me co-host during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't met her until that wrestling match that was done for All Nations. That was the first time I met her. And I was intimidated. I asked you to interview her. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. Yeah. She has a presence about her.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A winter chill moves across the middle of the country. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Many heading home from Thanksgiving celebrations will have to contend with this heavy snow and bone-chilling cold.
Lake effect snow heading for New York State could disrupt the Bills and 49ers game on Sunday night in Buffalo. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau travels to Mar-a-Lago for dinner with President-elect Donald Trump after Trump vows to impose tariffs. CBS's Wei Zhejiang in West Palm Beach.
Trudeau has said the move would hurt Americans, and he is just one in a long line of people who want to get in front of Trump before he takes office.
The Aleppo airport and highways into the city are reported closed. The BBC's Sue Montgomery explains why.
Syrian rebel forces of the Islamist group, HTS, have advanced deep into Aleppo, the country's second city, on the third day of their surprise offensive against forces loyal to President Assad.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers season is over. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, Wisconsin losing at home today to Minnesota 24-7. Minnesota wins the Paul Bunyan Axe. The Badgers finish with a losing record of 5-7 and for the first time in 22 years will not go to a bowl game. Head coach Luke Fickell, to any Badgers players thinking of hitting the transfer portal out of Madison.
This isn't the place they want to be because they don't want to climb this mountain. Then they're going to have an easy shot to go ahead and go do that. But those that want to stay, those that want to grind this thing through, we're going to do what we need to do. And we're going to make him proud with the guys that want to be here. We got a lot of work to do.
NFL, the Packers beat the Dolphins 30-17. Matt LaFleur praised running back Josh Jacobs' performance.
I think he brings a different dimension to us, just that physicality. I don't know how many broken tackles he had yesterday, but it sure seemed like a lot.
In Chicago, Matt Eberflus fired as the Bears head coach after failing to use a timeout at the end of yesterday's loss in Detroit. The Bears have now lost 6 games in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low down in the single digits, and a sunny forecast for tomorrow, high only upper teens. High near 20 for Sunday, and mostly sunny. Temps slowly warm up into the 20s for highs as we look into early next week. Currently, we're at 15.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and that's a great tagline. As I always say, hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're wrapping it up here. It's always really good to see you, and, you know, we need to resist, and we're bringing out those old Native Roots Radio t-shirts, Resist Again, because, you know, we need to just be awake, too.
Yeah, I agree that we need to update that and put that message out there. And I was talking to you earlier. My daughter borrowed my jean jacket, and I have a feeling I'm not going to get that back. This summer, another daughter borrowed a pair of my earrings. They're the like eighth generation, and I'm afraid I forgot the artist's name, with the buffalo on it. Mm. And I know I wasn't going to get it back. So for her birthday, I just wrapped up the empty box that it came in and gave it to her and said, keep it. So I have a feeling that maybe I should wrap up an empty box at Christmas time and tell the other one to just keep the jacket as well. Yeah.
Print a picture and put it in the.
Yeah. And she opened it. And she's like, what is this, Mom? I'm like, this is the box for the buffalo earrings. And she's like, oh, I get it.
Good one. Yeah. Good one. Well, yeah. I mean, that's funny that you say you can't remember the Native artists. And I know you and I and Haley have talked about this over the years, that how important it is to know who makes these things.
Yep.
And know the names, whether you forget it or not. If they can't come up with the name, it's made in China, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's when I think about the evolution of Native craft and jewelry in the last like 10, 8 years, it's amazing. Not only the level of artistic talent that has evolved, but also, you know, the artists that are coming out. It's just incredible. So those earrings, let me tell you, are by Blackfeet artist John Isaiah Pepillon. And they're the buff. That's a black circle with the buffalo and the lifeline through it. I get so many compliments on that. But when we look at the art that has come out in jewelry and clothing, the whole evolution has been fabulous. And where you used to be able to pick up, you know, some of these beaded earrings for relatively cheap, which was great. Of course, now they're so much more expensive and prized. But the bottom line is these artists are finally getting what they deserve for their talent and their skill in the market. You know, and it's just wonderful. I think you were telling us that there's a maker's market out in Shakopee coming up, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to for sure get out there, because I saw a taste of some of the stuff out there and I'm like, ooh, Christmas.
Yeah. There's a smattering of those going on too. And I not to pat ourselves on the back, but when we originally started Native Roots Trading Post, it was to really get out there the Native artists. And, you know, we have stories where people are selling paintings for $10, $15 because they need formula or they need diapers. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the art's worth. And people turn around and sell it for more. And to really amplify these Native artists. And one of the other side of that, too, State Senator, is that you don't have to be a painter. You can be a Native painter, and you don't have to have like a teepee or something Native in your painting. You still can be a Native painter that paints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we're seeing more and more of the artists, the Native artists, feeling comfortable putting their work out there and finding new avenues of appreciation for it. You can do prescribed art all you want, you know, with the teepee and the buffalo or whatever the case may be. But sometimes, you come across some of the most incredible pieces of art that either move you for one reason or another. And when you find out about the artists and what really encouraged them or inspired them to do it, the stories are just riveting in some cases. So when you start doing your podcasts, I think you do one around Native artists and that sort of thing as well.
Well, we could also do it on our radio show here and just make Haley do it. Right, Haley?
Of course. I would love to. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I was just looking at my paintings down here in the corner while we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watercolor painted in a while, but like I remember when I was thinking about creating art for like a market or to sell at a friend's booth, I was like, well, does it have to have a teepee in it or a chipotle or a buffalo? And it's, yourself is what makes the art native. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But it's also good to have one of those little chipotle thrown in there once in a while, little chipotle earrings or something. But no, I agree 100% because that part, you're a Native artist or you're Native or you do Native art. Mm-hmm. And they are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. See how I switched that around like that? That was kind of cool.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, but support them, ask, and I guess too, really ask who the person is. And if the person that are you going to some market or anywhere other than, a sanctioned Native market, you're going to have to ask where, who made these. Those are the first things I come up with. And geez, it's great to hear when people spit out the name, and I'm just glass-eyed because I don't know who they're talking about, but they know, and that's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff out there, and the talent is just, sometimes it's just like awesome. It's just like, wow, where have these people been? And I'm glad that they're finally getting that opportunity to not only have a market for their work, but also the appreciation and and that's shown through the price, that people are willing to pay. Sometimes I have some, favorite artists, jewelry artists on Instagram, and they'll say, gonna drop a show this, Tuesday at 6:00. And by the time I open it up, everything's sold out. And it's just amazing. So I just want to say more power to all of you artists out there, whether you're Indigenous or not. I hope that you get the appreciation that you all deserve.
Yeah, I agree. Geez, we've had some artists go through our store that the earrings are just fabulous. And and they sell out.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Yeah. Well, Haley, we got to get start beading again, get together.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've been beading a little bit. I've been still kind of working, procrastinating even my first beading project. But it's fun. Like the more things that you learn and can like express yourself through your culture, I feel like just the better you feel and your spirit feels. So learn as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point too. And I know like when we did those resin earrings, the first time a elder Native came up and said, were these prayed over? And the answer is yes. But, we talk about beading, Haley, as they're each one of those beads is a prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of beaders do that as well. And there's an artist that I know we have that you guys have at Native Roots Arts or Trading Post, Heck Ironcloud, the painter.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff is amazing. I really like Heck's work. And I think, is he Dakota?
No, he's not. No. He's from a tribe down in New Mexico. That's funny.
Oh, that's right.
I can't think of the top of my head what it is, but he won't be up there, but we'll have some of his pieces at Native Roots Trading Post.
Yeah, he does like a different kind of painting. It's like spray paint art, and it's amazing. It's like horses.
It's like more than that, because I've watched him do it. He paints with a knife too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is, I mean, a painter's knife or a putty knife, not a switchblade like I would cut the canvas. But yeah, come and see that art, Haley. I'll give you a good deal on one of them.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a great time to attend these local Native markets. And I know like places like the Minneapolis Institute of Art has a couple artists that are pretty big in Turtle Island right now that they're featuring some exhibits. And it's a great time for holiday shopping as well.
Well, let me say this too, State Senator, that I know you're an avid reader too. And there's a lot of those authors that you really like, and State Senator just left.
I bet you she's going to grab a book.
I am, exactly.
What is it?
I got this one for my birthday. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have.
The Rediscovery of America?
Yep, yes. Native Peoples and the Unmaking of U.S. History. And I just got this for my birthday. I haven't even I haven't really looked at it yet, but I'm really excited to sit down and go through this. I'm really excited. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know too, you really love Marcy's work. We've talked about that before.
Yep. Marcy Rendon, my sister that you just saw in the background for a minute or two, I was watching her dog all week. She said this past 2 weeks, she's just been blowing through that series. I gave her a couple of them that I had. My sister up in Moorhead is an avid reader of Marcy Rendon. I have Louise Erdrich's new book as well. I just finished The Mighty Red.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, of course, Mona Susan Power and her book, Council of Dahl. I don't know if you've read that one.
No.
That's got a lot of my family history in it. She's my cousin.
And
that was a hard one to get into because there were, like we said, family stuff in there that is just really heart-wrenching for us. So,
What was her first book?
Her first book was... Book.
The
Grass Dancer. Yep. Good for you. Yep.
Yeah. I had her as a professor at the University of Minnesota. I took a class of hers.
I think she's still there.
Cool. Hey, State Senator, thank you so much for stopping in. It's always a pleasure and it's fun and it's also serious and it's just really great to have you on.
You guys too.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance, but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select Option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with a fun fact, Friday Sacred Animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues on the local and state level. And as always, it is my pleasure to do that. Today we have a story from Care 11. Care 11 is a news station in Minnesota, and this is updated on June 13th. A reported birth of a rare white buffalo in Yellowstone National Park fulfills a Lakota prophecy that says better times, according to the members of the American Indian tribe, who cautioned that it also is a signal that more must be done to protect the earth and its animals. The birth of this calf is both a blessing and a warning. We must do more, said Chief Orville Looking Horse, the spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Oyate in South Dakota, and the 19th keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf woman pipe and bundle. I'm going to tell you more about this story here. It's very interesting. Let's see here. So the birth of the sacred calf comes after a severe winter in 2023, which drove thousands of Yellowstone buffalo, also known as bison, to the lower elevations. More than 1,500 were killed, sent to slaughter, or transferred to tribes seeking to reclaim stewardship over an animal their ancestors lived alongside for millions of years. Aaron Braden took several photos of the calf shortly after it was born on June 4th in the Lamar Valley in the northeast corner of the park. Her family was visiting the park when she spotted something really white along a herd of bison across the Lamar River. She said that traffic stopped and she was able to take some pictures of this beautiful little white calf. For the Lakota, the birth of a white buffalo calf with a black nose, eyes, and hooves is said to the second coming of Jesus Christ, Looking Horse said. Lakota legend says about 2,000 years ago, when nothing was good, food was running out, and bison were disappearing, white buffalo calf woman appeared, presented a bowl pipe and a bundle to the tribal members, taught them how to pray, and said that the pipe could be used to bring buffalo to this area for food. As she left, she turned to a white buffalo calf. Quote, and someday, when the times are hard again, Looking Horse said, in relating the legend, I shall return and stand upon the earth as a white buffalo calf with black nose, black eyes, and black hooves. So this is a beautiful story about this little white buffalo calf. And we're just going to keep an eye on it and send updates every now and then when we find out how he or she is doing. We don't know if it's a he or she yet, I don't think. So anyway, a couple of funny little things here since it's Fun Fact Friday. I've been collecting these little memes here and there, and I find them on Facebook and social media, and people are very clever who come up with these things. So just a little bit of backstory. You know, like when you're driving around and you see these billboards about lawyers, right? If you get into a car accident, you know, call, you know, blah, 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 blah. All those billboards that you see for lawyers for all kinds of different things. Well, here's one with a dog on the front of it. And it's one of those billboard posters. And it says on the top, did your human promise you a car ride and take you to the vet? You may be entitled to compensation. Do not sit, stay, and settle. Paw us today to schedule your pro bono consultation. Established 2024. Sniffin', Lick'em, and Stick'em. Law attorneys at law. I think that's really cute. Augie Esquire, founder and good boy. And it's a picture of a chihuahua. So that's pretty cute. Yeah, people are really clever. They come up with all these little fun little things that I think is so funny. You know, I just watched a video of a baby orca in the sea seeking out help from human beings who were on a boat. So this little orca had something in its mouth, like a piece of rubber, and she kept, or he kept bringing it up to show the people and acting really weird and laying on its back and like giving a whining sound. So the people on the boat really were like, there's something wrong. Something's happening. So they decided to follow the baby calf. And the baby orca calf brought them to its mother, who was tied up and caught in a buoy line. So the mom's tail was caught up in a buoy line and couldn't, you know, swim. So the people, you know, jumped into the water, and the mom stayed really nice and calm, and they were able to take the buoy line off the mom calf, and then she swam away with the mom, and her and the calf swam away. And then just moments after that, you see other orcas coming and like flapping around and flapping their fins in the water and jumping up and splashing and to say thank you. So we see all different kinds of animals seeking help from humans. You know, you think that animals would be not wanting to do that after all the awful things that we do to them. But sometimes, once in a while, when an animal asks for help, humans jump in and they help them. There's another story of a baby elephant who fell into a ditch, and the baby elephant couldn't get out. So the other adult elephants went to find humans, and the humans came with a tractor with equipment to be able to move the earth and dig out the hole deeper so that this little baby calf elephant could crawl out without getting hurt. And then you see the elephants, you know, throwing up their trunks and making that blowing sound, you know, thanking people. There's another video, and you could go on YouTube and just find hundreds of these videos where animals come and seek help from humans. There's another one where a deer had a box stuck on its head. It was probably looking for some type of food. And what happened was the deer came up to the person. You could see the deer was really scared, but the person was kind of talking to it and soothing it, and the deer let the human take the box off its head. There's so many. There's another video of a wolf who's starving and seeks food from a human, and the human, the guy gives him, you know, food. So we find these stories all the time, even like during the droughts, where animals can't find any water, where there's a really cute video. You should definitely look this one up, of a squirrel like coming up to this guy's leg and scratching on its leg and wanting the water bottle that the guy is carrying. And the guy, you know, realizes, oh, this poor little animal's thirsty. And the guy like gives the little squirrel the water, and the little squirrel is drinking the water. So It's really very cute. So if you see an animal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze Car Vent Clips, featuring 3 distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up, Oscar!
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.